Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. She's the infidel your imam warned you about, and there's no holding her back as she shares her opinions, insights, information, and outrage discussing the political entity known as Islam. We are at a critical juncture in our history, and if the threat of Islam is not faced up front, right now, then we will lose the freedoms of individuality, civic justice, and autonomy of thought we rightly enjoy, and instead see our values replaced with kinetic and civilizational jihad, Sharia law, and oppression permanently. Don't let the memory of our soldiers, past and present, go in vain. It is up to us to protect the legacy for which they fought so hard. We have an obligation to honor their memory today and for future generations. Join Kel Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. But leave your political correctness well away from her phone lines and chat room. And be warned, Kel takes no prisoners.
JoeDanMedia.com.
Hello, everybody,
And welcome to the Red Fox Blogger. I'm back. 3 weeks hiatus, but you know what? You guys have been hearing me all over the place anyway. Holy smokes. How many shows am I on? Jeez. Monday afternoons with Tim Burton. Thursday afternoons is when I'm exposed with Tim Burton and Dave Milner. Tuesday evenings at Radio Jihad Network with Tim Burton. EDL Radio Show with Jeff Mitchell, Tim Burton, and Dave Milner. So it's not like I exactly went away. It's just that with the issues I'd been experiencing, I had to let a few things go by the wayside for a while. But this is my Friday show, and I'm so grateful to be back in it because this is where I am solo, and I'm left to my own incorrigible devices. And I make no apologies, guys, because, you know, I'm always fed up about something. And I just want to let you know that I appreciate everybody's well wishes, their salutations, and my recovery. And it's going quite well. I am wearing a back brace, which is helping immensely. This thing is divine in that I can do semi-normal chores, although my husband still has to carry down the laundry baskets for me because my back can't quite take that yet. And he has to do the vacuuming, and I'm really afraid about that because I'm one of those that believes that appliances, well, they develop a relationship with one user. It's like, don't mess with the washing machine nor the dryer. Just bring the basket down and I'll do the rest. Plug in the vacuum cleaner and, okay, I can't do that, Mike. This is how you do it. Like, I know, it's terrible. When you're incapacitated, especially when it's in the middle of your body, and it's your back. Don't mess around with heavy boxes, and don't mess around with treadmills in particular, because they win all the time. But I am 80% at this point, and I can stay awake enough to do a show on my Friday. I really miss doing this show because I love you guys so much, and I just felt that it was important for me. It might not be a two-hour show, but it will be a show all the same, just to offer my heartfelt thank you for all your well wishes. Things are going swimmingly. My treadmill is up and running. The thing is a monster, and but it's being a good boy. And it's cooperating with me. it's unbelievable. This thing has 10 levels. I'm at level 1. I wish that I had a cam. It's right behind me here in my office. I wish I had a cam, a live cam, that I could turn it on and just put something on the treadmill to show you what 10 looks like. If I put my cat on there, I'd send her into the next stratosphere on 10. But I'm taking it easy, being very, very careful. And that's what it's all about, because we are here to convey messages to you within the scourge. And we all know, Tim, Jeff, Dave, we are here, though, to convey the message about the scourge that is called Islam, and this is what I strive to do. I do have a few stories that I want to get through, but I want to convey to my American cousins, congratulations on your success in the midterm elections on Tuesday. I thought that you folks did an absolute marvelous job in taking back your House, your Senate. Congress is back. A lot of work ahead for the United States people. Many years probably what's going to happen in the general elections in 2016, who assumes the mantle of the White House, is anybody's guess at this point. But we are just over the moon here in Canada. Jeff and Tim in the UK are very, very excited about this. So I have something I want to play for our American cousins.
If a picture paints a thousand words.
That is my homage to my American cousins. Well done. Well done, the United States people of America. We are so proud that you are making headway in ensuring that you maintain your status as a superpower and as the greatest nation. I say this all the time. I live in Canada. I live in the greatest country. But I am proud to be cousins with the greatest nation. And you certainly came out in droves. The election turnout was phenomenal. And you took it all back. You sent a strong message to Barack Hussein Obama that enough is enough. I was looking at the returns. I was at the Electionzilla shows on Tuesday all day. When I wasn't taping my own shows, I was at other shows. And the hope and excitement that I heard in the callers calling into the various shows really buoyed me. I just cannot say enough about how accomplished you folks were down there in the United States. It's been 3 weeks since I've been here, and I'm alone. It's kind of weird, you know? Because I'm so used to having somebody to say hello to. It's like, oh, hi, Jeff. Oh, hi, Tim. Hi, Dave. But you know what? That's okay, because this is the Red Fox Blogger F-bomb show, for Fox's sake. So get used to it. The kid is back, and she's sitting in the saddle, and she's running her own little agenda here. And the agenda, of course, is a continuum of all the shows that I do, and that is fighting the scourge that we know is Islam. There's been a lot of news going on in the last few weeks. I've been missing out. I have been remiss in even being able to read a lot of them. I've had issues with my browser. My principal browser is Safari. I operate on an Apple, and so Safari is the stock browser. And for some reason, it got compromised, and I cannot get to my drop-down files there right now. I had all sorts of things downloaded that I wanted to share with you, but that's okay, because I do have other devices that I want to share. But one thing I do want to share with you is that we are coming close to Remembrance Day. Now, in the United States, it's called Veterans Day. In Canada, it's called Remembrance Day. In the United Kingdom, it's called Remembrance Day. And in Canada and in the United Kingdom, we wear poppies over our left lapel, over our hearts, to honor the men and women who died and the men and women who continue to serve. And this is very important to me because I am the daughter of a veteran. I'm sure many of you out there are either a son or a daughter, or maybe a niece or a nephew or a brother or a sister of a veteran. The United States and Canada, we will celebrate our respective holidays on Tuesday, November 11th. The United Kingdom has a tradition in which they celebrate the Sunday before the 11th. So their celebrations will be November 9th. And please ensure that you are at the... Jeff is really going to fire me because I still do this. After 2.5 years, you think I'd know by now it's not called the East Anglian EDO radio show anymore. It is the English Defense League radio show. And Jeff is going to listen in archives because he always does. And it's like, Jeff, please don't fire me. But please be at Jeff's place at EDL Radio this Sunday, where we have our Remembrance Day special there. And Tim and myself at Radio Jihad Network, we're going to devote some time to a Remembrance Day in North America. Very important that we remember the soldiers, what they're doing out there. As you know, Canada suffered a rather devastating week in October. It was something that we never really expected to happen to us, in that we would have two soldiers literally pulled down in the streets of Ontario and Quebec. And it was very upsetting. On the one Monday in Quebec, we had Patrice Vincent run down, literally run down by a car driven by a Muslim, a Mohammedan. He had received his marching orders from the Islamic State. He harmed two soldiers. One was dressed civilian. The other was dressed in his military gear, and that would be Patrice Vincent. That happened in a borough of Montreal, Quebec. 2 days later, on a Wednesday, Nathan Cirilla was shot, coward style. He was sniped. He was sniped. He was shot in the back of the head. He died instantly while he was on duty guarding the tomb of the unknown soldier in Ottawa, Ontario. Once again, this terrorist was taking his marching orders from the Islamic State. I'm bringing this up at this particular point because I also owe a huge thank you to all of you out there that have contributed to a Facebook page that Michelle Walsh and myself created. It's called Love from Canada. And you have been posting your photos. You have been saying that we support Canada and her troops, and we will fight against Islamic barbarism. We created that page on Saturday. Today is Friday. So we created that page 6 days ago, and we have close to 400 likes, and the photos keep coming in. It is a wonderful outpouring. We're getting photos from as far away as Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, the UK, the United States, and Canada. We're not used to this sort of thing. We're very quiet here, and we don't ever expect that we would see such barbarity in our midst, but it happened in October. Canada was shaken to the core. It was sad because Patrice Vincent, he joined the military when he was 23 years old, and he served with absolute distinction, and he was slaughtered at the age of 53. Nathan Cirillo was a young husband with a 5-year-old son just starting his kindergarten. He was 24 years old. I so appreciate all of you internationally for supporting us. A lot of people said that this was going to be, not going to be per se, but they said this was Canada's 9/11. No, I take offense to that because it was not. And to compare, not to belittle the incidents that happened in October, but to compare it to close to 3,000 people dying in the World Trade Center building, I think that's unfair. What I would prefer to label this is that it was a precursor. It was a dry run. I think Canada can expect more to happen down the road. Islamic State is so powerful. It's hard to, pardon me, it's hard to believe that Al-Qaeda, who was responsible for 9/11, are afraid of the Islamic State. But you know what? Islamic State is taking Islam back to its grassroots. They are following the Hadith. They are following the Sirah. They are following the Meccan version. My apologies. They are following the Medina version of the Quran. They are taking Islam back to the grassroots. And they are saying, we are here and we will ensure you submit. Islam in Arabic means submit. We know that the adherents of Islam follow the letter of the law of the evil green book. There is no moderate Muslim. There is no lapsed Muslim. There is only a Muslim, a Mohammedan. That's it. There's no radical. There's nothing like that. Being a Muslim is being a Muslim. As long as they adhere to their so-called holy book as laid out by Muhammad, who is a false prophet, they are culpable. These are the smiling people at the corner store, your taxi drivers, your neighbor. When the call to jihad comes, they will answer because they have no choice. There's a lot of reasons why they don't have a choice. It's because, A, they fervently believe in that piece of shit that they put on their mantle and pray through 5 times a day. And 2, they're deathly afraid of the apostasy label. If you are an apostate, automatic fatwa on your head and death to you and perhaps your family. Islam is nothing but fear. Islam is nothing but loathing. Islam is determined to seek out the final solution, and that is global caliphate. And we are seeing this right now in the West. Look what's happening in the UK. I don't need to draw a map for you folks. Not at all. There are schools in the UK at this moment, as we speak, that are being threatened with being shut down because they balk at the idea of an imam coming into their school and preaching at a pulpit. We see what's happening in Canada with the Mosqueterias in Toronto, Ontario, where every Friday afternoon, Valley Park Middle School is shut down, and it's turned into a mosque, a makeshift mosque. Nobody does a thing. We can do all the letter-writing campaigns we want, but our politicians are not listening. We're seeing in the United States the madrasas opening up and imams being imported from Saudi Arabia and teaching young minds about how we're apes and we're pigs and we're infidels and we're kafirs. We see the teachings that go on in Palestinian area. I call them the Fales. They're Jordan's rejects. They're gypsies. But they have cartoons of a Mickey Mouse wannabe feeding crap to three-year-olds and feeding these questions. What is a Jew? Oh, a Jew is a pig. And how do you know that? The Quran tells me so. Islam is not a religion of peace. Islam is hate. It's destructive. It wants to see the demise of all of us. How do you explain the Gates of Vienna, the Crusades? How do you explain what's happening right now, in present day, in the United Kingdom, in France, in Italy? How do you explain the overthrow of despots? Benevolent as they were still vanguard. How do we explain this to our children when they get older and they're coming home from school and they're offering up their curriculum and saying, this is what we're learning today, Mom and Dad, in the classroom? Most parents don't understand the tentacles that Islam has reached in our public schools, our high schools, our universities. Look at the Muslim Student Association. Read a book by Paul Sutliff called Islam Phase 2. Read a book by, or articles rather, by Paul Weston of Liberty GB. Go to his website, libertygb.com. You have to pay attention to these people because they're not spouting things. They're warning us, and they have been doing so for a number of years. We're in dire straits. What can I tell you? What can I possibly convey to you? How do we explain Sharia law? How did that happen in the United Kingdom? You know how it happened? I'll tell you. British magistrates were being overloaded with domestic disputes. And a few years back, a few Eamons, they approached the magistrate and said, look, we can deal with some of the overflow. We'll deal with the Sharia complaints and settle it. And naively, the magistrate said, okay, but do you promise that you're going to adhere to the principles of the Constitution, therefore man-made laws? And the imam said, yeah, April, no problem. Well, many years later, in the United Kingdom, there are now about 100 Sharia-compliant courts, and they are out of our control. That's how it starts. You get a few trickle in. They're pretty nice folks. They're obeying our man-made laws, although, of course, because it is not Sharia, they rebuff them in their hearts, if they have one, that is. They curse us 5 times a day. They curse the infidel. They curse the Jew 5 times a day. But they come up and turn their heads once again into sunshine and engage in the kitman and the takiyah and let you know that we're your friends and we just want to coexist. We know that's a lie. We know that right now. Remember Lee Rigby last year in May in the UK? Slaughtered in the streets, fusillier, Lee Rigby, by 2 Mohammedans. Captured alive and tried in a British court of law. Of course, they were found guilty. Upon sentencing, the judge said, the act that you engaged in had absolutely nothing to do with Islam. And the one Michael was so enraged, he stood up and he shouted, it had everything to do with Islam. What about Ajim Chowdhury, who came on public record this week as saying that he would rather live with his family in an Islamic State-compliant country, but he can't because the British authorities confiscated his passport? What to do with these people? Do we go back to extremes? During World War II, when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, the United States enacted a state of emergency. And Japanese who were in the United States were rounded up and put in internment camps. In the early 1970s, Canada had an issue with the Front de Liberation at Quebec in that they were kidnapping diplomats because they wanted Quebec to separate from the rest of Canada. Then President Pierre Elliott Trudeau enacted the War Measures Act. All civil liberties were suspended, and there were curfews. If you were found walking in the streets anywhere in Canada, after 9 p.m., there would be a soldier escorting you back home, if not arresting you. Are we willing to go that far? Should we go that far? I just want to live my life and raise my family and raise decent kids. I want to go to movies, and I want to go out on the odd Saturday night with my pals, have a couple of drinks, sit around the kitchen table and laugh. Islam's making that harder and harder for us, and especially for me. I'm a self-declared counter-jihadist, and I'm way too committed. I don't have time for parties. I don't have children. If I had children, of course I would have time for my children, but I don't. I don't have time for coffee clutches. My one true commitment is seeing the scourge called Islam defeated. And this is something I want to see embarked upon within my lifetime. This is why I'm involved in as many shows as I am. I love going to Jeff's show, EDL Radio, because that man gives me an opportunity to put some levity into the programs. Because if you can't have a day where you can laugh and say, oh, look at those silly Muslims. Look what they did today, idiots. Jeff offers that, and he allows me the forum to do so. Tim and Dave and myself at Islam Exposed. I love doing that show with those two gentlemen as well. Because it's usually pertaining to tomfoolery and goofing off, and that's what you need. A sense of humor in light of the gravity that we face when it comes to the realm of Islam is sometimes a lifesaver. I work with three wonderful gentlemen that get that. But I'm here Friday night, and I'm on my own. And I'm really telling you that I've been spoiled by having great co-hosts. But I also know that I really miss speaking with you, mano a mano. Just you, me, and a microphone. It's important for me to do all these shows. My Friday show means everything to me. We have so much work out there to do. We are a few voices, but your attendance at these radio programs proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're just as committed. You have children, and you want to see them grow up and be unfettered by the scourge. I know you don't want you to see your back up, beep, 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 beep. I know that you don't want to see them shackled within ideologies. The worst ideology being Islam. We have to ensure that we, as a collective, can work together and ensure that Islam is de-indexed as a religion. There are two phases of the Islamic text. There's the Meccan version, the peaceful version. There's hardly anything in there about the kafir or kafir. The Medina version, those are the later versions. When Muhammad was in Mecca, he was a pretty quiet guy. He was a preacher. Lucky if he got maybe 10 devoted followers a year, but then he invaded Medina. And that's when he became a warlord, a criminal, a robber, and a murderer. We saw what he was capable of doing at the Battle of Tours. He gained hundreds of followers per year. Islam is not only a social disease, it's a mental disorder. Islam is schizophrenic. It makes no sense. It's contrary to how we live in the West. It is not compatible with us. Therefore, I do not understand for the life of me why we tolerate this entity. The Gulen schools. The Gulen school in the United States. These are madrasas. Gulen was a imam from Turkey, and he set up these schools. These are cruel, cruel schools. There's chapters all over the southeastern United States. Their brainwashing that goes on in these Gulen schools, but nobody shuts them down. What about in the public schools? World religion. More is devoted to the beautiful Meccan version of the Quran, and they're feeding this claptrap down your children's throats. I find this irrehensible, that we allow Islam to carry forth their ultimate goal, and that is to create a global caliphate. Look what happened in Syria. Look what's happening in Iraq. I want you to Google a map. It's pretty easy to do. Just Google map pre-Islam, map post-Islam, and look at the pre-Islamic map, and then look at the post-Islamic map. It's dark. It's black. One third of Africa is gone. Look what they did to Afghanistan. Look what they did to Lebanon. 50 years ago, Lebanon was a primarily Christian country. Look at it now. Same with Afghanistan 100 years ago, give or take. Look what's happening in Europe. Norway, Sweden is nearly gone. France is barely hanging on. The UK, give it 20 years. If the complacency of our governments continue, and that of the people that inhabit these countries continues, then we're gone. It's over. Gates of Vienna all over again, but this time we won't be able to fight them off. They find new weapons every single day. They don't pick up swords anymore. They have the womb. Muammar Gaddafi said, "We will not defeat you by the sword. We'll defeat you by the womb." He's right. He was right, I should say. He's dead now. Muammar Gaddafi, he was a bit of a vanguard. He staved off the Islamic hordes coming up from North Africa trying to enter Europe. He had a caveat. He was a despot, but he was benevolent. In the end, he was actually cooperating, and he would have been an ally in defeating Osama bin Laden, perhaps. But mark his words. It's not by the sword, but by the womb that we can be defeated. The new weapons of Islam. Population. Population means vote. Population means civilizational jihad. Population means we have the upper hand. You look at the United Kingdom, a population of 60 million people. Their Islamic rate is sitting at close to 6%. But look what happened. You go back to 2009 when the British Brigade were coming home and they were spat upon and bottles thrown at them, and even physically assaulted by a rabble-rouse group of Muslims. That's when the United Kingdom knew we have quite an issue here, and thus the English Defense League was born. But look how the English Defense League gets treated. It's an open group, yes. You're going to get infiltrators in any open group. The Tea Party in the United States has witnessed that as well. But these are grassroots organizations that are fighting for their very lives to preserve their indigenous populations, their culture, their laws, and the golden rule. But people within the EDL are getting fired from their jobs. They're getting dismissed socially because they are doing nothing more than defending their right to defend their country. The United States, the Tea Party, the highest echelon within the political system, that being the White House, auditing individuals and groups via taxation. Why? Because the Tea Party is yet another grassroots organization saying we've had enough and we're protecting our Constitution. We're protecting our republic. And they're singled out by the sitting administration. This is shameful, people. I think I have something here. I do want to honor Veterans Day. I think I have something here, but I'm not too sure if it's going to play for me because my browser's, well, my one browser has been acting up abysmally, which is unfortunate because that's where all my principal drop-down menus on, but it's locked up again. But thank goodness that I do save things in other browsers. But I want to share this with you because November 11th is coming up. And the men and women in uniform out there each and every day for us. I find it very distressing, though, that there are so many in the citizenry that do not appreciate what the veteran did and what the soldier continues to do today. All they want is their goodies. They're so greedy. They're so self-absorbed. They're not patriots. And that breaks my heart. That makes me cry. How are you going to vote? Respond. It depends what's in it for me. They never learned from history. John F. Kennedy, his famous words, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, has been long lost and forgotten. It's a real damn shame. What if you hear stories about people going to the polls, and if they can prove that they voted, they get a doobie? That would be marijuana, folks. An enticement. Your vote. You are one person. But your vote holds a lot of weight. And for you to waste a vote because you're going to get a free fucking cell phone. Or because I like the dude because he's the same color as me. I don't know anything about his background. I don't know his policies. I don't know what he stands for. But, hey, he has the same last name as me. What the hell is that? Our men and women didn't fight for it to come down to this. You listen to people like Holger Awakens, No Way 90, Sue from New Mexico. You listen to these radio hosts. You listen to Annie of Southern Sense. I listen to these shows religiously. I have been listening to these programs for a very long time. I can hear the frustration in their respective voices. In that, the American people, and believe me, it's not contained to the United States. It's also in Canada and the United Kingdom. You listen to Jeff Mitchell of English Defense League Radio. You can hear the frustration in his voice, too. In that, we are allowing people too stupid to even take 5 minutes out of their day to research their local councillors, their congressmen, their senators, their MPs. Anything. They can't even be bothered. If they get to the polls at all. It is just disgusting to me. That these people are even allowed a forum to cast a ballot. One ballot can change everything. One vote can be a tipping point on whether or not that person being sent to Ottawa or Washington or London. That makes all the difference. Is that person going to be beneficial to the country? Or is that person that was voted in the one that is promising the freebies? And that's all that matters. I'm going to take a break. Like I say, the show's not going to be 2 hours tonight. I'm just getting my feet wet again. Doing my Friday show, and I have nothing in front of me. All the articles I wanted to share, well, they're locked up. And Holger, thank you so very much. Thank you, Holger. And I appreciate that. I'm glad to be back on Fridays too, Holger. I'm going to play this for you, though. And let me see if I can tee it up because I'm doing everything absolutely manually at this point. But this is from Paul Alexander. And this is his website, Defender of Faith, Guardian of Truth. And you can find him at cpnagasaki@wordpress.com. This man has one of the best blogs going. And this is what he's sharing on his blog today. On the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, an armistice or temporary cessation of hostilities was declared between the Allied nations and Germany in the First World War, then known as the Great War. Commemorated as Armistice Day, beginning the following year, November 11th became a legal federal holiday in the United States in 1938. In the aftermath of World War II and the Korean War, Armistice Day became Veterans Day, a holiday dedicated to American veterans of all wars. Also adopted by Canada and the United Kingdom. I want to thank Paul Alexander for this. I would like you to take a listen. And that probably sounded a little tinny. Like I say, my main browser is being uncooperative, and all my MP3 to YouTube converters are in there. And I tried to download that into the studio, but it wasn't cooperating. But I think that's okay. It's a beautiful song, and I put the link in the chat room for everybody. And thank you to Paul Alexander for that. Though the Treaty of Versailles was signed on June 28, 1919, November 11th, remained in the public imagination as the date that marked the end of the Great War. In November 1918, U.S. President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed November 11th as the first commemoration of Armistice Day. The day's observation included parades and public gatherings, as well as a brief pause in business activities at 11 a.m. on November 11th. On November 11th, in 1921, an unidentified American soldier killed in the war was buried at the Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, D.C. The U.S. Congress had declared the day a legal federal holiday in honor of all of those who participated in the war. On the same day, unidentified soldiers were laid to rest at Westminster Abbey in London and at the Arc de Triomphe in Paris. On June 4th, 1926, Congress passed a resolution that the reoccurring anniversary of November 11th be commemorated with thanksgiving and prayer and exercises designed to perpetuate peace through goodwill and mutual understanding between nations, and that the President should issue an annual proclamation calling for the observance of Armistice Day. By that time, 27 state legislatures had made November 11th a legal holiday. An act approved May 13, 1938, made November 11th a legal federal holiday dedicated to the cause of world peace and to be hereafter celebrated and be known as Armistice Day. In actuality, there are no U.S. national holidays because the states retain the rights to designate their own, and the government can only designate holidays for federal employees and for the District of Columbia. In practice, however, states almost always follow the federal lead. We're at war again, people. We always seem to be at war, and we're always sending the men and women out there to protect our respective shores. We're in a huge battle, and the enemy is Islam. I was rather distressed to learn this week that there was a directive put out by a member of the Canadian Military Advisory Panel, in that this Tuesday, November 11th, soldiers do not attend the ceremonies wearing full regalia, because that would entail that they would also have to wear military issue firearms, which would be empty. But instead, we're directed to wear regular military uniform, in which their sidearm could then be armed. I find that distressing to no end. You have heard me on Radio Jihad Network. My last guest was Michelle Walsh. And she said it. She nailed it. She said, in the West, we're supposed to change their patterns and their way of life to adapt to ours, not the other way around. But lo and behold, that is what we are doing. We're changing our patterns to accommodate theirs. We're at war. Be within no doubt about it. Islam and their ambitions have reached our shores. Enough is enough. We have to call it for what it is. Islam declared war on the West. There is no war on Islam. I implore you, all of you, to remember that. When you hear somebody say, well, it's a war on Islam. No, it's not. This has been going on for 1,400 years. This Islamic war on us. 1,400 years. How many have they been slaughtering? The Battle of Tours, I remind you again. It's just so hard some days, you know? You see the atrocities globally. You see what's happening in Nigeria with the Christian schoolgirls who've yet to be set free. Many of them, many, many, married off to Mohammedan jihadists, converted. We have seen throughout history what Islam is capable of. Go to Turkey. Go to Armenia. North Africa. And cases like Lee Rigby, my apologies, in the UK. Patrice Vincent. Nathan Cirillo in Canada. The Fort Hood shooter who killed 14 people. You look at this. Despite the Allahu Akbar is still labeled by Obama as workplace violence. Despite the fact that that piece of shit had written all over his business cards, SOA, Soldier of Allah. I don't like naming terrorist names. I won't give them the honorifics. And many of you will notice that when I do the show notes, Islam, Muslim, Mohammedans, they're all spelled in lowercase. They don't deserve it because they're scum. You know, somebody asked me a while back, what do you want for your birthday? My birthday was last month. What do you want for your birthday? I said, can I have a time machine? They were rather confused by that. What do you, you know, well, what do you want to do with that? Do you want to go back and, you know, visit Queen Elizabeth I or, you know? I said, no. I want to go back to 728 and meet Muhammad's mother and bang her over the head with a baseball bat so that she truly did indeed have a headache that night. Muhammad created so much havoc in his lifetime. It continues today. Islam is grouped in with the three great religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. But we know Islam is not a religion. Hardly a word about religious piousness is spoken in the Quran. It's all about Sharia, submission, and killing the kafir, and reclaiming the Ottoman. This is what Turkey's working on right now. They were pretty angry when they lost the Ottoman Empire there during World War I. If you won't take my word for it, you have to do your own research, because I can't help you any further than I can right here. I can tell you all the books to read. My office is a mess, and so is the back bedroom in my house. I have two bookshelves upstairs. Two bookshelves. And then I have spillover down here in my basement. And about 80% of my books are about Islam. I may not be the erudite on the air. I don't speak as well as Tim, nor Dave, nor Jeff. But I do know of what I speak. And I do know how to convey to you. Islam is gaining. We have to stop the political correctedness. We have to stop the appeasement. And we have to stop allowing our respective governments to give them the protectionisms of a status religion, because it's not a religion, ladies and gentlemen. It's an ideology. It's political, and it is based on a war manual commonly known as the Quran. Like I say, I'm probably going to take off in a moment, but I just felt like I really wanted to do a Friday show because I really missed you guys, and Bigfoot, you're a brat. He says, I was afraid that Kel would be green by the time the treadmill was done with her. And Getting Forever says, power walker. Start on the first floor, a parking structure, and make my way to the eighth floor. Oh. No, the treadmill is actually turning out to be my very best friend. Oh, boy, though. Getting used to it. Hey, I burnt 300 calories today just walking on the darned thing. So it's, hey, it's kind of groovy. I like it. Unfortunately, the thing is a monster, and it's taking up the entire half of my basement. But, boy. I do want to thank you guys, though. Bigfoot, Getting Forever, Southern Sands, TP Nani, Sweet Sue from New Mexico, Holger, guests. I want to thank you guys. Yeah, my first show in 3 weeks. I'm in the back brace and on muscle relaxants. I am going to be tickety-boo. I'm 80% now. 3 weeks ago, if you had asked me, I would have been 11 out of 10 on the pain threshold. And that lasted for many a day. But it's all, as G. Ski would say, it's all good, it's all gravy. I'm well on my way. Like I say, thank you. Like I said at the beginning of the program, thank you, everybody, for your well wishes. I also want to thank you for your well wishes towards Tim Burton. Tim had another procedure done in the hospital this week. It went very well. He actually got a cleaner bill of health than he expected. So Tim's doing well. I'm doing well. But if I could ask you a favor, Jess is ailing a little bit. If you could, you know, just think of our Jeffy. He is very tired, and things are slowing down for him a little bit right now. He might be on hiatus, in which I'll be carrying English Defense League Radio for a little bit, but that's okay because that's what friends are for. But just keep Jeff in your thoughts and your prayers while he deals with his health issues. You'll notice that when you listen to EDL Radio, I have, for the last couple of shows, I have taken the helm, and that's so that Jeff can sit back and breathe, because sometimes even talking really hurts his chest. And I don't mind doing that. I don't mind helping our Jeffy at all. He's a good man. He is looking out for your interests. He works tirelessly, bringing the EDL shows to you and explaining to you the issues of what's going on in the United Kingdom and how we're not too far behind in the West. So, for Jeff, hey, baby, get your breath back, okay? All right. Little sister's orders. But, oh, my goodness, I am out of here. Like I say, I did book the show only for 90 minutes because I don't want to overdo it. I did three shows today. Three shows I enjoy very much doing. Of course, that is with Annie of Southern Sense is Conservative Sense. And, of course, with our Jeff at the EDL Radio Show. And, of course, my very first foray back into the Friday show. So that's three shows today. So I'm going to wrap her up, babies. But you know what? If I'm feeling as good as I'm feeling right now, I will see you back here on my own, you know, on my lonesome next Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. But please try to remember, we have a lot of fine programs. Red Fox Blogger is bringing some really, really fantastic shows Monday to Friday. On Monday, there's Tim and myself, and we are the RFB Radio Wow. On Tuesdays, we have Vlad Tepes at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the Red Fox Blogger. On Wednesdays, we have Mike Holt of Restore Australia at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. On Thursday, we have Islam Exposed with Dave Milner and Tim Burton. And then on Friday, you have me where I'm left to my own devices. You guys are awesome. Thanks for joining me. And thanks once again for all your help, everything you do. And thanks for allowing me to be part of your life. You are the best. I have the best listeners. I have the smartest listeners. I have the best chat rooms. Love you all. Talk to you on Monday with Tim at RFB Radio Well, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Meanwhile, have a great night, everybody. And do remember, it is mass Islamity. Let's stop the insanity. Have a wonderful evening. Have a wonderful weekend. I missed this.